speaker is representing herself and two other researchers. We'd like to acknowledge Lisa Fu, MPH, who is with the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative in Los Angeles, California, as well as Alicia Tran, who is a health education specialist with the Asian Health Services in Oakland, California. I'd like to introduce your speaker. Tina Yuen Tran is the community outreach advocate for the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative. In this capacity, she supports the leadership development and organization of nail salon workers and owners. Her area of research is organizing interest in environmental health within Asian American and women of color communities, and she is currently a master's in public health candidate at UCLA in California. So let's welcome Tina and congratulate her for becoming an MPH candidate.
Testing, can you all hear me okay? Great. Good afternoon, my name is Tina Yuen Tran and I am the Community Outreach Advocate for the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative. And this afternoon I will be talking about leadership development strategies my colleagues and I have used to engage nail salon workers in policy advocacy to improve their health, safety, and rights. I have no relationships to this coast. And for the next 20 minutes, I'll walk you all through an overview, abbreviated background on workplace and environmental health concerns for nail salon workers. And we'll be talking about the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative and the work that we do to address those environmental health concerns, particularly looking at leadership development strategies to address workplace health and safety. So the nail salon industry, the cosmetology industry, is the fastest growing profession in California. It's been rapidly booming over the last 10 years. The nail salon workforce in the United States has increased by 374% and currently employs about 380,000 workers in the past 10 years. In California alone, there are 37,000 nail salons that employ 97,100 licensed manicurists. To give you all an idea of what the workforce looks like, the majority of nail salon workers are women of color. 60 to 80% of workers are of Vietnamese descent, particularly in California. And women workers are 95% of women workers are within the childbearing age of 18 to 42. Most workers earn less than $18,000 a year, and they are recent immigrants with limited English, which means they have limited access to knowledge about the legal system and the healthcare system. Most workers are incorrectly classified as independent contractors versus employees, which impacts their ability to access worker-based health insurance programs. On a daily basis and for long periods of time, nail salon workers and owners are using and are exposed to solvents, glues, and nail care products that have known or suspected have chemicals that are known or suspected to cause cancer, respiratory harm, and reproductive harm. The three chemicals of concern that we look at are dibutadiene, formaldehyde, and toluene. These three chemicals are very common in nail polishes, and as you can see, the research shows that these three chemicals have been linked to respiratory complications, reproductive harm, and cancer. Workers also use other solvents, strong solvents in the workplace, such as alcohol, acetone, and acrylic polymers in their artificial nail application. And the chemicals in those products have been known to lead to some of these acute symptoms and illnesses, as well as I mentioned, reproductive health concerns. The research, the published research on health impacts that workers experience from working in the workplace has been very limited, but we have documented workers' experiences in community needs assessments and very informal interviews and research, and we've heard stories of workers sharing that in the workplace they've experienced respiratory illness, they have rashes and skin irritations such as what you see here today, and they experience nose, throat, and eye irritation from the solvents and chemicals that they use daily. Repetitive motions and a lot of bending in the work that they do leads workers to have such chronic pain such as carpal tunnel and back pain. Some of the sources of workplace health concerns for workers is that they are exposed to long-term on a long-term basis to multiple chemicals at a time. And there are poor ventilation in the salons that they're working, as well as bad ergonomics. There currently is a lack of culturally and linguistically appropriate materials and training for the diverse populations that work in this industry. And what's also important to note is that workers are, as I mentioned, often misclassified or incorrectly classified as independent contractors or station renters when they are indeed working under conditions that would make them an employee. Owners are workers themselves, and workers and owners are often family members or have social ties, just given the way this industry is very family-run and family-oriented. So these create salon-level complications and barriers to addressing workplace health and safety for workers. At the structural level, the conditions that lead workers and owners to be exposed to hazardous sort of frame the workplace to be a hazardous one for workers and owners is that there is very little or no regulatory authority over cosmetic manufacturers and ingredients. Currently, there are 600 cosmetic industry companies that fund a review panel to do health and safety assessments of the chemicals that they use in their nail products or in personal care products. This cosmetics industry review board has reviewed up to 10,000 chemicals that are used in nail care products and personal care products daily. This review board has reviewed about 10% of those chemicals, so about 1,000, and they have deemed 10 to be toxic. In Europe, where the precautionary principle is applied and that all products are have to undergo pre-market research before they are made available in the marketplace, they have done more extensive research and have shown that there are about 1,300 ingredients that are deemed toxic. And so you can see the disparity in terms of in the United States, there are 10 chemicals that are deemed toxic, whereas in Europe, where there is more extensive research, 1,300 chemicals have been assessed and shown to be toxic. What's important to acknowledge is that nail salon work and cosmetology work is an important source of livelihood for nail salon workers and owners. It's what they use to build their families, to support their families, support their communities. And so in order to address workplace health and safety and environmental concerns for this workforce, it's important to acknowledge and have a critical analysis of the complexity of this problem, both at the salon level and at the structural level, in order to address change in a sustainable way. As a result of workplace health and safety concerns for nail salon workers, the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative was established in 2005 out of a growing concern for the health, safety, and rights of nail salon and cosmetology workers, owners, and students. Our mission is to improve the health, safety, and rights of the nail salon and beauty care workforce to achieve a healthier and more sustainable and just industry. We are an organization of about 40 member partner organizations from the immigrant rights field, from the environmental justice field, from the workplace health and safety field, all working together to achieve this mission of improving the health, safety, and rights of nail salon and beauty care workers. Oh, and we do so using multiple approaches. We conduct policy advocacy to advocate for more protective rules and regulations in the workforce. We conduct research to continue to understand what the health concerns impacting this community in the short term and the long term. And we do movement building work at the state, local, and federal level so that we could create more sustainable industry-wide change. And underlining all these approaches is our outreach and leadership development strategy, because we believe that affected communities should be the leadership guiding all projects, campaigns for environmental justice. And how we achieve the outreach and development, leadership development strategies, that we work closely with nail salon workers and owners to implement culturally appropriate occupational health and safety trainings, to build worker and owner leadership capacity to improve their health, safety, and rights, and we engage workers and owners in advocacy and civic engagement campaigns to build community power. And I'll be talking about these three different strategies more in depth subsequently. First, to implement culturally appropriate workplace health and safety trainings, we've worked with the UC Berkeley Labor Occupational Health Program to develop an OSHA-approved health and safety training curriculum. And this curriculum is very unique in that it is very interactive. It uses a lot of images to address the fact that we're working with older adults, and it needs to be very visual and very enticing. And in this training, workers and owners are trained how to, one, prevent chemical exposure by wearing gloves and using personal protective equipment. Two, workers and owners are trained to prevent infectious diseases by washing and disinfecting their equipment and using gloves when they're exposed to chemicals and when they're servicing their clients. Three, workers learn how to improve their ergonomics so that they don't experience chronic pain and body fatigue. And how we do that is that we show workers and owners how to do specific stretches and exercises that were developed for them by doctors and nurses who have assessed the kind of work that Nelson workers and owners do on a daily basis that would cause those chronic ergonomic pains. And fourth, we share with workers and owners labor rights information that pertain to their health and safety. For instance, I've talked about misclassification of employee versus independent contractor status. And so we share information with workers and owners to help them understand whether or not they are actually, you know, should be classified as independent contractor or employee, and that helps them to understand what are their entitlements for health and safety in the workplace. So these are some of the images I have from our trainings. We do the trainings at the site of the workers' work site at the salon because workers tend to be very mobile and they travel sometimes far distances to get to their workplace, and so the best place to reach them is at their workplace. And so we've brought the trainings to their workplace, and it's very interactive, as you can see. And this is the training we actually conducted just last week. We do ergonomic training, so these are stretches that I shared doctors and nurses have developed specifically for nail salon workers, given this type of repetitive motion and ergonomically hazardous types of work that they do on a daily basis. We had a session showing workers and owners how to create their own nail care products using do-it-yourself products around the house, such as salt, sugar, lemon, honey. And this is one of the ways in which we help workers and owners understand how to use and create products that don't contain toxic chemicals. And this is from a training that we conducted in which we showed workers and owners how to use and what type of gloves to use when they're servicing clients so that they can protect themselves from chemical exposure and infectious diseases. Our second strategy, which is to build workforce leadership capacity to improve their health, safety, and rights, our goal is to increase individual and group leadership capacity and engagement with the Vietnamese and immigrant nail salon workforce. And we do that through a leadership development curriculum that we developed. And in this curriculum, we have built in skills building trainings to help workers and owners have the skills necessary to be leaders in their field and to have the skills to be self-advocates. And so in California, we have a group of 40 nail salon workers and owners who make up our core advisory committee group. And what this group does is they meet quarterly, so every 3 months, and they provide us feedback on all of our work, on our campaigns, on our research, on our movement building work to make sure that it is in line with the community voices and the community intentions. And in these quarterly meetings, workers and owners get trained on such things as how to do effective public speaking, how to understand why English became a dominant language, and how to, as you all saw, how to create products that are toxic-free so that they can use in their nail salons and protect from chemical exposure. Within the advisory committee group, we have a select group of workers and owners, about 10, who make up the core leaders. And these core leaders undergo more intensive and advanced training within our leadership training curriculum, and they go through trainings on how to organize a meeting, how to give a testimony, how to do outreach, and these are core owners and workers who are helping us to then organize the advisory committee meetings. And so they're actually going to, they actually have put their skills and their what they've learned through the leadership curriculum into practice. So these are some of the pictures from our core leader training curriculum events. This is a team building activity that we, you know, have our core leaders go through. This is a picture of a typical advisory committee meeting in which they're giving feedback to us about our work and whether or not it's a reflection of what the community wants and needs. This is our first cohort of core leader workers and owners receiving their certificates because they have gone through the whole modules that I've just shared with you all, so they're very happy. And again, these are our core leaders who are being recognized at a community celebration ceremony that we had to honor the work that they do for being leaders in the industry. The third strategy we have is that we engage the workforce in advocacy and civic engagement campaigns to build community power. So as you can see, the three strategies kind of just build off of each other. So having the health and safety trainings and then getting the capacity, leadership capacity building skills, now we engage workers and owners in policy campaigns so that they're creating industry-wide changes. And we key activities that we have engaged workers and owners in is creating regional healthy nail salon recognition programs, particularly in San Francisco, Alameda County, and the city of Santa Monica. And these programs, these local programs, what they are is for salons that complete a list of 10 simple health and safety practices in the workplace, they get city or county recognition as a healthy nail salon. And these healthy nail salon recognition programs have been largely driven and advocated for by workers and owners. We've also engaged workers and owners for advocacy of language access from the California Board of Barbering and Cosmetology. This is the government regulatory agency that issues licenses to the workforce, and they also conduct health and safety inspections at the salons. And so, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lack of culturally and linguistically appropriate health and safety information for the community, and so we've been engaging workers and owners to advocate for more diverse, for language access in the materials on health and safety. And third, we have engaged workers and owners in support of the Federal Safe Cosmetics Act. This is an act that would require all manufacturers of personal care products and nail care products to undergo pre-market research of the chemicals that they use in their products to show if those products and those chemicals have human health impacts. And so we've been engaging workers and owners in that process to advocate for this bill because this is really important. It would impact their industry. And as I've shared, and as you all may know, policymakers, what they want to hear are the people who are, impacted by these policies on a daily basis. And so we've brought workers and owners to D.C. to advocate for this federal bill, and it's been just a really meaningful experience for both policymakers and for our workers. So these are some of the pictures. This is it's a little dark and it's hard to see, but San Francisco Board of Supervisor President David Chu standing with our workers and owners in the passing of the San Francisco Healthy Nail Salon Program and Ordinance. Our workers and owners with Kieran Ahuja, who represents the White House Initiative on Asian American Pacific Islanders. And here's a worker testifying at an interagency meeting advocating for the Federal Safe Cosmetics Act. And this is one of our workers being interviewed by ABC Channel 7 at the press release for the passing of the Santa Monica Healthy Nail Salon program. And our, worker-based strategies have led to a worker-led movement for change. We've achieved a lot of policy change, of behavioral changes, and of just a lot of accomplishments because of our commitment to focusing on community leadership and community leadership development. So some of the successes that I've shared so far include the passing of the Healthy Nail Salon Recognition Programs in San Francisco, Santa Monica, and Alameda County, the advocacy for language access from the California Board of Barbering and Cosmetology. We've collected 1,300 signatures so far to support the Federal Safe Cosmetics Act, and we've held two In two consecutive years, we've held the National Healthy Nail and Beauty Salon Week of Action in Washington, D.C. Underlying all of these achievements are worker leadership, engagement, and advocacy. And as you all can sort of see from what I've shared so far in terms of our commitment to community engagement and community organizing and community leadership development, the guiding principle that sort of underlines all of our work is this idea of the community empowerment process. And that means providing the resources, the environment, and the support for workers and owners and affected communities to be able to have greater control as an individual and as a community to improve the quality of their life and to achieve social justice. So I'm happy to answer any questions you all have. And this is our website, so all the information I share today is accessible from our website.